When I was 6 years old and started hurling chairs at my mom, Dr. Beth Reese, in the dining court of the Salt Lake City Airport, she knew something was up. Hi, this is Jordan, and I'm one of her three awesome kids. Soon after that day at the airport, my mom learned that her daughter, me, had sensory processing disorder, considered by many to be a spectrum disorder. My mom spent years searching and researching for tools to help me pause, center myself, create who I really am, and then press play. Thus, she developed Flower Power Breath, which I still use to this day in college, and she also found a passion for helping others find their way through the means of yoga. The Amazing Way podcast synthesizes over two decades of my mom's work, bringing mindfulness, mental hygiene, and yoga on and off the mat to teachers, parents, and families in homes, classrooms, schools, and beyond. This podcast offers practical ideas and tools for integrating research-based self-regulation tools into daily life. Take it from me, you want to check this podcast out.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Oh Amazing Way podcast. I'm Beth Reese, the founder of Yoginios Yoga for Youth and host of the podcast. And I am so excited, and I know I always say that, but today I'm really excited to be in conversation with Rabia Meghani. And Rabia, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Beth?
Well, I am less scattered feeling than I was when we first were talking about having this conversation. And I would tend to think I'm not the only one on occasion who feels scattered. Mm-hmm. I want, as we were saying earlier, want to acknowledge we're recording this in early April of 2020. And we are in the space of practicing staying at home with COVID-19 abound. So how's it going for you?
You know, it hasn't been as terrible as maybe as I was thinking. Being at home can sometimes resonate with, oh man, I'm stuck. But there's so much time that we have now that it's actually been great for reconnecting and remembering the authenticity of life and who we are. It's been really nice. I think it's just been a coming back to home feeling for me. There's so many things that have been on the backlog, and some of the things that are on the backlog is actually necessities of life, like relationships, mental health, nutrition. And it's sad that because of how fast we are running now that these things are on the backlog when that's kind of the foundation of life. But it's kind of just been to me that the earth is like, okay, everybody slow down, go back home and take care of what you need to take care of. Because when you build that foundation is when you can level up and succeed. But when the main pillars of your life, like your relationships, your health are compromised, it's harder to move forward. And I think that burnout is something that everyone was experiencing at some point. And now I think it's just like Earth has just all told us to go to your room and think about what you've done.
Right. It's given us a timeout. I half joke that in some cultures there's the story about Vishnu and that there are 10 incarnations and we were awaiting his 10th visit to save the Earth. And so I'm like, this is it. Not a flood this time, but
just
you know,
get it together, y'all.
That's right. So, for those of you, I always like to share a little bit about my guest and give you a little context about how I know Rabia. And I'll put more information in the show notes, of course, about all of her amazingness and how you can get a hold of her after this. And so Rabia has no idea, as always, what I'm about to say. But so Rabia came to one of the Yoginios Yoga for Youth trainings. And as often is the case, we had a conversation before we met. And during that conversation, this may sound crazy to some of you, but maybe you've had this experience where it was like, I felt a connection to you and your energy that was like the phone wasn't there. And it was like, we're going to work together somehow. I don't know what that is yet. And it will unfold. But there was, and maybe it's just such a, such a joint passion for this work of supporting people in finding all of their amazingness that already exists within them and all the different tools that are available. So it's been really wonderful getting to know you better, and I'm really grateful that you're sharing your Ayurvedic expertise here with us today. And just to say that Rabia is an Ayurvedic practitioner, and she's going to share with us a little bit about how she got to be there. It's a fascinating story. She's also a yoga therapist and a yoga teacher, and so much more that I'll put in the notes. And I just am really looking forward to our conversation today. So what do you think about taking three breaths together? And then we will dive into more of our conversation. How does that sound?
Let's do it.
And hey, check it out. So if you are out there in listener land or viewer land, because we post these on YouTube as well, I feel like this is such, these three breaths we take together, no matter if you're doing it with someone else who's listening, but just to know that throughout time, there's a way that we're connected through listening and pausing and breathing.
Yeah.
And so really as we take these just three breaths together, just consider, you know, all everyone around the globe being interconnected really at all times.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to find a comfortable sitting position and I'm going to close my eyes. You can close your eyes if that feels comfortable, or just lower your gaze to the ground. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. And if it feels right for you, take a breath in through the nose. Let your belly fill. And as you breathe out of the nose or mouth, maybe let your body soften towards the earth. Let your belly soften. On another breath in, breathing in the energy around you, the goodness, all the beautiful things near you, near and far, and breathing out, perhaps this time soften the shoulders, and breathing at your own pace, not necessarily my pace. Let's breathe in again. And as you breathe out, let the jaw soften, the inner ear soften, the eyes soften. And as you start to flutter your eyes open and reorient yourself to the space around you, maybe just take a moment and really notice and name something around you that you're grateful for. Like, so simple. I'm so grateful for this beautiful coffee mug one of my dear friends gave me years ago. And every time I use it, I get to think about her and my other dear friends, right? So there are just positive things all around us. So my dear Rabia, so you are an Ayurvedic practitioner. Mm-hmm. And so, and you have practiced that throughout your life and maybe not until a few years ago really understood the significance of that. Do I have that right?
Yes.
And so, all right, so I definitely, there's so much we want to talk about today. So we're going to hear a little bit about Rabia's story of really more fully studying and practicing Ayurvedic practices and yoga. We're going to hear, she's going to lead us in a meditation and give us some really great tips about how to be in touch with ourselves and be healthy no matter what's happening in our daily lives. So Rabia, what, first of all, would you share with us a little bit about what Ayurvedic practices are? Mm-hmm. And then I'd love to hear, like, what was going on in your world when you were like, yes, this is what my life is gonna be about? Would you take us through some of that?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about what Ayurveda really is. Sometimes it can seem like this woo-woo science, and it's really important to decode what it truly is so that we understand how practical it can be to our lives. So the Sanskrit word ayur means life, and Veda means the science of. So it's just really the science of life. And that means, how are we living that corresponds to the way that our body needs and how the earth needs? There are three main constitutions that are called doshas in Ayurveda, and it's Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And they comprise of the five elements of the earth. So that's air, space, water, fire, and earth. And we all have those elements in our body. And everything around us has those elements. And some of us have more of one or more of two of the other. And so each body is kind of its own unique constitution made up of different elements, which is why there's no one size fits all for anybody, truly. And so what we learn is that identifying the elements in our body, what's elevated, what's not elevated, whether I have too much earth going on right now or too much fire going on right now, and earth can manifest as, you know, feeling depressed, fire can manifest as hyperacidity. Constantly noticing the type of emotions that we're experiencing, the sensations that we're experiencing, where in our body we're feeling these things, is the way we're going to tune into, okay, what really am I, what type of constitution am I experiencing right now? And the way that we bring balance to this is that when we notice that one is too elevated, we bring it down with another element. So if my air is very elevated, then I bring it down with earth. So it's not necessarily it's counterintuitive to like increases like, it's kind of that it's the opposite balances the like. So
I love that. And I remember there are times in my life where I feel very scattered.
Yeah.
And I remember someone said, oh, you must be a little bit windy. and even having, I think, like vata tea.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for someone like me who maybe on those days I feel a little scattered,
mm-hmm.
So then it's having some things maybe that feel are earthy to help balance that. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the qualities of air. So air, it's very beautiful, right? It's movement. It's flowing. But when there's really windy days or we have things like hurricanes, we can also understand the destructive power of wind. So that's kind of the way that we need to understand the way wind works in our bodies. When we're in a flow, kind of sometimes when people are kind of zoned in on what they're doing, that's your air quality at its finest. So you're focused, you know what you need to do. When you start noticing that you're feeling a bit erratic or your thoughts are everywhere, the sensations of anxiety are higher. So you know that, okay, the wind is a bit higher than it needs to be today. It's almost like a forecast for your body every day. And when you notice that you're feeling, you know, very erratic or there's hurricane-like sensations in your mind, in your heart space, there's tightness. And what really we need to bring down is just, okay, our kite's flying a little too high today. Let's go ahead and bring it down a little bit. And that just means heavier, denser movement, maybe heavier, denser thought. It's the quality of everything that you're ingesting, not just food, but what you're watching, what you're hearing, what you're talking about. So if your speech is very anxiety filled, or like, I'm scared, this isn't going to work out for me, I don't know if I can do this, maybe practice some affirmations that I am capable, I am powerful. Things that are strong, heavy in word quality that bring down the air. If it's things that you're hearing that are your surroundings that are going to make you believe certain sensations, you put on a podcast, you put on something that you need to hear that will ground the energy. If it's things that you're watching, so if that's the news right now or the news ever, really, maybe watching something that can really bring down your energy. There's all these funny videos on children and puppies that are always going to make you feel better. So know that you always have the power. You can always make a conscious decision that you can change the energy of how you're feeling. This doesn't have to rule how you feel, but it's just a way of helping you notice how you're feeling. And then you have the control of what I can do or what I can expose myself to. So that's also foods. If you're going to eat a lot of raw foods, the quality of raw foods like raw kale and spinach, it's very airy, right? They're light foods. So the opposite of that would be denser foods. So sweet potato, it's heavy, it's big, it's fat, it's filling, it has good energy to it. Avocados, good fats. So simple, small decisions like that you can make throughout your day. Like, okay, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit anxious today. Maybe I'm going to skip out on that salad. Maybe I'm just going to bake some sweet potatoes. Maybe I feel like that's going to bring my energy down. So it's just this pure thing of noticing where I'm at, how I'm feeling, pausing. Okay, how are my thoughts? What am I exposing myself to? What type of things am I thinking? And how can I bring balance to it with just my lifestyle? There's nothing outside of yourself that you need, truly.
I love that. And then I just want to underscore, there's something you just said that I think is really worth highlighting. Mm-hmm. And it's been a real practical shift for me in my life. And that, as you said, like you might say, I am feeling anxious today, which is different than saying I am anxious today. Mm-hmm. Do you, would you be willing to unpack those distinctions?
Yeah, that's a really important distinction to make, because anything that the phrase I am is very, very powerful. I am blank is basically what you start to identify yourself with. You identify your worth with. So if you say the term, I am anxious, you're basically taking on this idea that all of you is anxiety, and that you encompass all the qualities of anxiety. You encompass the qualities of feeling nervous all the time, of thinking of impending doom, of always having tightness, constricting yourself, and reducing the amount of spaciousness in your thoughts and in your body. If you start to live those qualities, if you believe that you are those qualities, then your life just becomes an immediate reflection of that. You will start to constrict your opportunities because you feel, I am anxious. That's not something that I'm capable of. Anxious people can't do this, right? And the difference is that you're not anxious, but you're holding space for anxiousness. So your body is vast consciousness. It's not just one thing. And if you allow your body to be a container for how you're feeling, then you can be like, okay, there is anxiety in this body of mine. But there is also hope in this body of mine. And there is also faith in this body of mine. And there is also joy. And there may be a little bit of depression, and there's a lot of frustration, but there is a lot of hope and faith and positivity. So you're holding space for everything that you're experiencing, but you are not one thing. And I think that's something that I experience a lot when I see clients in Ayurveda, is when people are experiencing a certain illness or a dis-ease. I am that. I am Crohn's. I am colitis. I am lupus. I am this. I am that. And because you feel that you are this one thing, you start to live your life in this limited space. And it's wild to think that it's all purely from your mind. You create barriers, invisible barriers from your mind. And that if you were to understand the barriers never existed, you can tap into that limitless potential of yours.
I love that. I love that. And I always think of a phrase I heard when I was on a silent retreat, like, these are things that live, this is life living through me and is not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like the causes and conditions, but it is, but I also have a say.
Yeah.
How powerful that say is.
Yeah.
So I'd love to just pivot here, because there was a time in your life when you made a shift.
Yeah.
It sounds like as a result of taking on some of like your own advice or your own coachings. So is this a good time to pivot and just hear what this has meant for you personally?
Yeah. We could talk a little bit about how I ended up here. It's I feel like it's a turbulent story, but it's been...
They often are.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in a Pakistani family, and when my parents immigrated from Pakistan to America, there was no such thing as you take a pill for something. There was like, oh, you know, you breathe through it, or let's take a little concoction of an herb, or why don't you just rest, right? Why don't you just
wait,
rest?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Can you why spell would you that? Do that?
Why don't you just slow down? Why don't you just breathe? And you know, I was born and raised here. So growing up in around Western medicine, there's a pill for everything. It's instant gratification. There's no hard work in feeling better, right? I'll say that one more time. There's no hard work in feeling better. You're entitled to feeling better, as if there's not homage you pay to your own body. And a lot of what we find good health was externalize, that there is nothing within me that's going to make me feel better. It's, I need your validation. I need your conversation of what you think about me. I need your pill. I need your cough syrup. Otherwise, I'm not going to feel better because I don't have what it takes. Right. So growing up in that type of situation and knowing what I've learned at home, I always felt very torn. I felt like, okay, you know, maybe this is too good to be true, or maybe, you know, Western medicine is so advanced and what do people from third world countries know what they're talking about? Like, yeah, that's all well and good, but you know, now with the disease rates magnifying, it doesn't make sense to live this way. It's not practical. It's not sustainable. So that's a little bit about where my headspace was during that time. So I grew up and I realized that as times were progressing, there were larger amounts of people that were just sick all the time. And we're trying to understand like, okay, like how is this happening? Why are more and more people getting so sick? As we're so advanced now. We live in, you know, such a progressive community and economy. And how are so many people sick? So I went to college and I attended the University of California, San Diego, and I took on global public health epidemiology. And that's basically the biostatistics of disease. How do we understand where things are coming from? How do we create programs? How do we initiate interventions that are going to help people kind of come back to good health? And going through this program, I'm realizing, all right, a lot of it is how do we contain disease? How do we do this? How do we do that? And something's not sounding right to me, because it's still very much externalized. What do you mean that, okay, like you give them this protocol, or no, like if they go and do a colonoscopy, that's the only way. Like, okay, well, but what if you don't have access to that? What do? You know? So thinking about it just riles me up, but so I'm going through this thing, and I took on my senior thesis, which was education. Just pure health education. What I'm going to do is I took on this project of, and I was in San Diego at the time, and the breast cancer rates of Asian American women were really high. So that was kind of my group. So I said, I'm going to make pamphlets. I'm going to make a flyer, and I'm going to stand outside of Asian grocery stores every weekend, and I'm just going to talk to people and let's see what happens. So me and this group that's working on this project, this is all we did. We just talk to people. And I found out that education is so empowering. If you tell people what it is that they're feeling and how they need to feel better, there's no way that you can't. Ignorance is what is causing the progression of disease. What people don't know is that I have what it takes in order to feel better. So just simply talking to these women about, hey, you know, like, maybe this is how you do a breast exam. Maybe talk to a few more women in your family. Maybe eat a little better. Maybe get a little bit more exercise. Just that education is empowering enough to bring down those rates of breast cancer in that community. And that's exactly what we were able to do. And it just got me thinking more and more about that. If we just tell people that, hey, this is what you need to do to feel better, instead of pointing them in different directions or constantly empowering the idea that, oh, what you need is outside of you.
And sometimes, and we talked about this earlier, sometimes we do need to, you know, we do need external medicine to help us.
Right.
Including during, right, the time of these big, you know, this pandemic, for example. Yeah. So being, you know, we just want to underscore that there certainly are times. And part of what I feel like I'm hearing you say, though, is, and it kind of reminds me, you know, I'm a daughter of a dentist, and growing up with this idea of, you know, one of the ways that we take care of our teeth is by preventing, we brush our teeth every day, twice a day,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when I think of preventative healthcare, it's like, what can I be doing every day to be my best? You know, I brush my teeth so they're their best. But what else can I do? What can I eat? What choices can I make?
Right.
Am I getting what you're sharing, this idea of, I mean, yeah, brushing at your teeth is one thing, but there are ways that we can take care of ourselves on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I'd also like to touch on the fact that Western medicine is very important. There's no alternative to it. I think that it has its place in situations of emergencies and dire circumstances and chronic illnesses and the pandemic that we're in right now. It's very, very, very important. That should never be overlooked in situations that you need. But I think what I'm trying to kind of highlight is that it's not the answer for everything we're experiencing. Right. And it can sometimes be what we all lean on to feel better. And that's even with emotions, right? Like anxiety, depression, it's almost like we're not supposed to feel this way, so let me change it. So maybe just shifting our mentality around it instead of thinking that we need to change the way that we're feeling and going back to making space for it. And
Yeah, I was gonna, when we were just first talking, it's like, well, how's it going? And I shared with you that, you know, one of the gifts of this time is my, I'm having less expectation of how I should feel.
Yeah.
Right. And so within a matter of 2 hours, you know, I feel like I can go through a roller coaster of emotions that maybe before felt like would have taken a day or two.
Yeah.
And it's just, and so one of the gifts is like, however, whatever comes up, that it's like, I'm really trying to open up to it and be like, you know, as Tara Brock says, like, end this too.
Yeah.
Okay. And wow, there goes that emotion. but just to notice and to say, well, that's just moving through me.
It's okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And is there anything I need to do right now?
Yeah.
You know, to hold space for that and to let it move through me.
Yeah. The a very simple analogy I like to use, which I feel like sometimes works really well with kids, is that we should imagine ourselves as we are driving a car, right? So when we're driving a car, it's going to rain sometimes. Sometimes we're going to hit traffic. Sometimes the gas is running low, but we are not the car, right? We're just driving the car. We're looking through the windshield. We're just experiencing what's happening around the car. So when there's rain falling on the car, we're not getting wet. The car is getting wet. But if we, so think about how silly that sounds. It's like, oh, I am my car, right? it's similar to saying like, I am anxiety. It's just something that you're experiencing. So just like I am looking through the windshield of my car, pure consciousness is looking through my eyes, right? There's going to be rough terrain. There's going to be, you know, roads that have potholes in them. There's going to be very smooth roads. There's going to be roads where you're going to go really fast. And there's going to be roads that you're going to go really slow. And there's going to be roads where your tire is going to pop off. And there's going to be roads where you're running low on gas and you're anxious to find the next station. So you basically help your car navigate how it's experiencing, but you don't ever become the car, right? You're just looking through the windshield and you're just allowing whatever is happening to happen, but you assist your car. So, you know, it's raining, you turn on the windshield wipers. You're running low on gas, you fill it up. Same thing with ourselves. We feel like we're running low on energy. How do we fill up our own energy? We're crying a lot. How do we understand how to let these emotions be? You can't stop the rain when you're driving, so you shouldn't stop the rain when you're feeling it in yourself either.
I love that. I love that. Before we go to our break and hear, have you lead us through a meditation and some mm-hmm. other practical things we could do. I know that you experienced at some point you became quite ill.
Yeah.
And you made some choices in embracing these, some of these practices to help your body heal.
Yeah.
And I wonder in just a few minutes if you could describe what that was, because it's very powerful to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is going back to a little bit when I was talking about how I was really confused during my undergraduate career. But I felt like pursuing higher education at this point would probably help solve those qualms. Maybe I would have more answers to my questions. And so I went ahead and I applied for a master's in public health, and I got accepted at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, which is where I really wanted to go. And I was like, well, this has to be the spot. This is where I'm going to find all the answers. And I'm like 6 months into it and still kind of confused. And at the 6 month mark, I was traveling overseas and came back home. I was in Paris and I came back home and I had a travel bug. So feeling very uncomfortable. A lot of GI related issues, feeling weak. And I'm like, okay, you know, the first thing that I thought, which I feel like a lot of people will think, is, well, let me just go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor, and my primary care physician was actually out because it was the holidays. So I went to urgent care. Went to urgent care. It's a holiday season. Everyone's just in for random things. So they're trying to just, you know, keep going. And I was like, yeah, you know, I have a stomach bug. And they're like, okay, well, you know, just, you could stay at home and rest and just let it pass, take some Pepto, or how about we just be safe and take an antibiotic and make sure we wipe out whatever could be bad. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. Like, why wouldn't I do that? That sounds so much smarter than being at home and resting and taking fluids. What are fluids going to do? So I agreed to the antibiotic. It was a conscious decision. And I feel better in a day. And fast forward a week, I am in bed with a fever of almost 105, going to the bathroom about anywhere from 15 to 25 times a day, lost 9 pounds over 5 days, I want to say. And something's not feeling right. It's not, and we're still in the holiday season. It's hard to get a hold of my doctor. And so I call her, I let her know like, hey, I'm not feeling good. So she calls for a stool test. I take the stool test, but the very next day, and she said, we're going to meet in a week. So I still have a week now before I get my results. So the very next day I wake up around 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning, and I'm experiencing things I've never experienced before. So I wake up like in a panic, and my heart is like, I could hear the sounds of my heart. My palms are sweaty. My feet are sweaty. And I feel like I'm in a movie, like I'm watching what's happening to me. And it is very, very scary sensation because it's not something that I've ever experienced before. And I'm not sure what's happening. I'm feeling really scared, but there's nothing to feel scared about. I'm just sleeping. I'm in my room. Everything just feels like it's about to fall apart. And I start hyperventilating. I go to the bathroom. I just splash water on my face. And I spent the rest of that night on the bathroom floor because the only thing that was making me feel better was the sensation of the cold tile on my face and just laying on the ground, because I could not rationalize for the life of me what I was experiencing, which I later came to realize was a panic attack. And that's not something I'd ever been exposed to. That's not something I'd ever seen anyone go through. I had never experienced it. So my mind was obviously trying to understand or make logic of what I was experiencing. So the next day I'm like, all right, I have to go to the ER. I can't, this is weird. I'm having heart palpitations. This must be something of what I'm experiencing. I go there. We take every test under the sun. I'm there for a few hours, and then the doctor comes in a few hours later and says, oh, everything came back negative. So you're probably just anxious. I'm anxious. You're telling me that I'm sweating and my heart rate is off and I'm having blurred vision because I'm anxious. What do I do about that? What do I take for that? That doesn't make sense, right? So that's not something I could understand. Okay, if there's something wrong with me, all right, let's fix it. How do I fix feeling anxious? And that sensation I remember was scarier than him saying that there's nothing wrong with you. Because I can do something about something being wrong, right? But what do I do about an emotion I'm feeling? So that's my life now, right? Like, this is what I'm going to be like forever. I'm going to be anxious. Am I always going to have these heart problems? What does this mean? Should I not leave the house? And these are the type of thoughts I'm having at that point. So I go home and I'm thinking about what I should do, how I should feel, what do I do about this new life of mine? It felt like a new identity just because I'd had a panic attack. My doctor calls me and is like, oh, you have C. diff, which is a superbug that is triggered by antibiotics. And it basically takes over and all the good microflora in your gut, and which leads to all the GI issues. And then started to understand that your gut is like a second brain. So maybe that's why the anxiety is persisting. So her solution to my problem was, let's take another course of antibiotics to get rid of this bug. So I'm thinking,
what?
So I'm thinking, you want me to take another antibiotic to fix what this antibiotic did. And at this point, it wasn't the fear of the C. diff. It was the fear of, but if I keep doing that, won't my anxiety persist? Doesn't that mean that if I keep clearing out my gut of the things that it needs, am I going to keep having panic attacks? Because that's not what I want to do. That doesn't sound like a sustainable solution. So that night, after getting off the phone with her, everyone in my family, everyone in my life thought, okay, the obvious choice is you take the antibiotics. I mean, you just went to the ER. you're going to the doctor, you're weak, you need to do something to kill this thing. So that night, I was up all night thinking about, does that make sense? Like, how does it make sense to, isn't that perpetuating how I'm feeling? So that night ended up having the biggest panic attack of my life, where I was pacing back and forth for hours in the middle of the night, just like counting my breath on my fingers, just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Because if I didn't do that, I would spiral. And I'd spiral, then I couldn't breathe. And it was an awful, awful, awful feeling. But I needed that to happen, as weird as that sounds. I needed myself to panic, because it's almost what shook me into making the decision that I did, which kind of testifies to the fact that not everything bad that happens to you is always bad, right? And I made the decision, woke up in the morning, I said, you know what, guys, I'm not taking the antibiotics. Everybody was a little bit like, okay, you know, you're known for being radical, but that doesn't make sense. Like, that's not practical. It's not logical. That's not smart. So I said, all right, well, you know what? Give me 2 weeks. If I can't in 2 weeks with this regimen I'm making for myself, if you don't see any improvements in me, or if my doctor says, hey, this has really gotten too far, I'll take the antibiotics. I don't want to take a risk. I don't want to be not smart. Okay. So I create a plan for myself, and the plan includes me taking on a whole foods plant-based diet. So that is eating meals that don't have any meat or dairy products in them, and none of it is processed. So it's all whole foods. It's eating the entire food, nothing processed. I did that. I took on daily meditations twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. I started practicing yoga every single day religiously. And I took post-it notes and I wrote, I am healthy. I am free. I have what it takes. I can heal myself. And I took these post-it notes, and probably going to send you a picture of this, but my wall in my room at the time was filled with these notes. I would wake up every day in a panic, sweating, and I would just look at it and I'd be like, this is why I'm doing this. I can do this. I can do this. I know I can do this. I feel like I can do this. So fast forward 2 weeks, I go to my doctor, we take another stool test, and it came back negative. So I didn't have C. diff anymore. And this was something that was supposed to last for a little over a year. And if the antibiotics hadn't worked, I would have to do a fecal transplant. And in 2 weeks, with just my diet, with just my mindset, with just breathing deeply, right? With just taking a deep breath every day, I was able to allow my body to do what it needed to do for itself. So it was almost, I was in the way of my body needing to do what it needed to do. And so when I gave it that necessary rest, when I reminded itself of its power, when I allowed myself to breathe, that's what I needed to come back. And it was done. And when that happened, that was the biggest validation I could have ever received in my entire life. It was when that test came back negative. It was March 9th, 2017, I remember. And that day I quit grad school and I said, you know what? I'm not doing this, because I can't perpetuate something that I don't believe in. I need to be authentic. And so I went on to studying Ayurveda full-time, yoga therapy full-time. And now, like I like to say, I practice what I preach. And I just, my goal in life is to remind people of how powerful they are, and that they have what they need to feel better, and to just make that difference in the smallest ways and micro steps. And hey, if we breathe like this, or hey, what if we eat a little bit of this, or hey, what if we do this? Just tools that you don't even need me for, really. Just if I just point you in that direction, you're on your own way. And I think that is probably the best way I'm able to make a difference, is not through my master's, not through my education, not through a thesis, but just really reminding people to slow down and breathe.
Mm. Yeah. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. And I hear in that your, you know, willingness to check in with Western medicine and also really look for the power that already resided within you.
Yeah.
Right. And then to cultivate through breathing and affirmation. So I feel like this is a good place to pause.
Yeah.
And then come back, and would you lead us through one of your meditations and breaths so we can get a sense of how you practice?
Yeah.
And then I'd love to hear a couple more practical tips we can take on. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Awesome. All right. So friends, we will be right back.
Interested in learning more about making good choices for yourself, others, and the universe on and off the yoga mat? Hi, this is Grace, one of Beth's awesome kids, and I want you to know that my mom's resources and programs with Yoginios, Yoga for Youth, have your back. Be amazing and check out the trainings, award-winning bilingual resources, licensee program, and one-on-one coaching opportunities with my mom, Beth, at yoginios.com. That's Yoginios.com. Now back to you, Mom.
Welcome back to the second half of our Amazing Way podcast. I'm Beth Reese. I'm here with Rabia Magani. And we've been talking a little about a lot of things, including a bit about how we can, you know, sometimes there are things that happen in life and we can feel things, whether that's anxiety or discomfort, and we can feel them and we don't have to attach to them, or we don't have to say that's wrong, that's bad, right? Feelings aren't right or wrong, they just are. And then we can have tools on how to manage them. And Rabia, I would love if you would lead us through one of your meditation practices that has made a difference in your life in managing what shows up.
Yeah. So this meditation, I feel like, is very helpful because it reminds us of the vastness of ourselves. And I think it's very appropriate now to learn to hold space for what we're feeling and really how to manage them. Yeah. All right. So wherever you are, just sit up nice and tall, maybe move the glutes out of the way, and imagine that there is just a string holding your head up. So just slight lift from the top of the head. You can flutter the eyelids closed or lower your gaze if that feels comfortable. I'll keep my eyes open so I can help guide you through this. On your next inhale up, roll the shoulders up and back. And on your exhale, drop the shoulders back. One more time, roll the shoulders up. Inhale. And as you exhale, back and lower. Let's take one hand and place it on our heart, and one hand and place it on our belly. Maybe give some love to the chest and the belly. Check in. How are you feeling? Notice where you're breathing from. Do you feel the chest expanding? Do you feel the belly expanding? Is your breath deep? Is it shallow? Is it loud? Does one nostril have more air than the other? Just notice what's going on with the breath in your body. Let's take a deep inhale in and fill the belly to full capacity. Hold at the top and exhale. Feel the belly contract all the way. Suck the navel in. Let's do that three more times. Inhale in, fill the belly. Fill. Feel it expand. Hold and exhale. Let it go. Let it all go. And two more times on your own breath. Release. And let it go. Continue to deepen your breath as you drink this in from your ears. The poet Jalaluddin Rumi says that our bodies are just a guest house, and that the emotions and sensations that we experience are nothing more than visitors. Whether they come with destruction or whether you have a lot of fun with them, one day they will all go back home. Nothing will persist forever. Emotions like anxiety, frustration, depression, uncertainty. Remembering that these are all just visitors. We are the house. We are the container that makes space for it. I am not the anxiety I'm experiencing. I am the vast consciousness that is holding space for this feeling. I make room for you, anxiety. It's okay for you to be here with me for now. It's okay for the frustration to be here now. It's okay for the uncertainty to be here now. Because like every guest, every unpleasant emotion, this too will pass. Nothing is forever. In this moment, I make space for anxiety. And in the next moment, I make space for hope and faith and gratitude. All of these are visitors of mine, but I am not them. I am pure, open space. Let's take one more big, deep breath in. And exhale it all out. On your next inhale, let's breathe in all the positivity we can think of. Take it all in, fill it all in your container. And exhale, let's breathe it into our palms. One more time, inhale all the good feelings, all the hope and the faith and positivity. And exhale it into your palms. Knowing that whenever you feel the sensations of anxiety, you always have the power to center yourself and bring positivity into the palms of your own hands. With the eyelids closed, let's rub the palms together, create some energy and some friction, and take all the good energy that you just exhaled into your palms and wash it all over your face, your neck, your throat, your chest, your abdomen, everywhere that you can reach where you are seated right now. Spread it all over. One more time, let's take all that energy, rub it in our palms. Visualize golden light and take that light and wash it all over our faces. On the eyes, the ears, the head, arms, everywhere that you need it today. You have access to washing this energy over you anytime that you need it. Anytime you feel that you're holding space for anxiety, for uncertainty, you can remember to bring one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly and breathe. When you're ready, gently flutter the eyelids open.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I know, you know, practicing meditation has been such a game changer for me, and then in my family. So I can't, you know, recommend taking a few minutes every day and connecting with the breath And I love what you just led. So thank you.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, practical daily tools we can, you know, put in our pockets and embrace and use and share.
Yeah.
What are some other thoughts from your knowledge and areas of expertise as a Ayurvedic practitioner and yoga therapist? What are, you know, just a few tips and techniques we could take on to use anytime?
Yeah. So one that I would recommend that I live by myself, which I feel like is the most important, is that regardless of what's happening outside our homes and really what's happening outside of us, is building a firm foundation. So building a routine for yourself. You can't necessarily control what's happening around you. You can't control what's happening outside of you. But if you build a foundation and a routine for yourself, you always have this, okay, I know it's this time. This is the time I sit down for my meditation. It's noon. This is when I sit down for my lunch. So really just writing down in bullet points what you are to do with your day. Regardless of what's happening out there, you know what you need to do for yourself. And that by itself just gives your mind the routine that it needs to provide grounding for your body. It helps ground down the energy. The vata energy, which is the air energy, is very, very high right now because we're in a state of high uncertainty. There's a lot of anxiety. We don't know what's going on. And there's a lot of uncertainty with our careers, our family lives, and truly, what are we going to do next? But I think if we in ourselves build a strong, firm foundation of regardless of what happens, I'm going to do these set things that I have committed to doing every single day, will allow your mind to, instead of floating away in uncertainty and confusion, your mind has something to do. Okay, well, at noon, this is what I do. At 12, this is when I do my lunchtime. At 2 is when I do my slow flow yoga. At 3 is when I write down my 3 things for the day that I need, that I accomplished or that I'm grateful for. So just giving yourself a firm foundation and bringing down the vata, it's a grounding exercise. So building routine, building a foundation will immediately bring down your vata energy and it will ultimately help you with the anxiety that you're experiencing too.
I love that. Love that. And I am someone who does put these things you're mentioning in my calendar. And then I live by that calendar and it may pop up, you know, 7 a.m. time to meditate. Yeah. And what I know is the voice in my head may say, I want to stay in bed.
Yeah.
I can say, okay, you can have that thought. And you said you were going to meditate knowing it's going to help you have a strong foundation for the day.
Yes.
So I love that, creating a routine and just really committing to stick to it. That's a great foundation.
I think you made a really good point that those two thoughts can coexist. You can think that I don't want to do this and I probably should do this, can both live in the same space, and you can feel equally confused about both, and that's okay. And this is something I was talking to you about earlier, is that there are days when I have my meditations and I'm like, man, I really don't want to do this. But all I do is I just get myself up and I sit there. And I think, okay, that's all I needed to do. I said I was going to meditate at this time. I'm here sitting on my mat. Let's go. I'm sitting there. And then eventually I'm like, all right, if I'm here, might as well just do it, you know? So it's just these small incremental baby steps. I think I read this in a book one time that if you want to train yourself to brush your teeth every night, just tell yourself that you're only going to brush one tooth. And ultimately you're going to brush the tooth and you're like, well, my mouth's wet. Might as well just go for it. So it's just small baby steps. Like, treat your mind like a child, you know, like it doesn't want to do things as the whiny. It wants to just sit around and watch TV. And you're like, okay, but like, just come with me a little bit here. Come with me a little bit there. And ultimately your mind will kind of coincide with you and be like, and tell you that, Hey, Rabia, hey Beth, why don't we sit down for meditation? Cause last time I did it, I felt really good. So knowing that you don't have to have a routine, be like, well, I said I was going to meditate, and that I'm also supposed to feel good about meditating. Nobody says that, right? You can feel awful about meditating, but you can just sit there and take solace and pride in the fact that I did something that I said I was going to do, even if I didn't do it the way I thought about it, but I got up and I sat there. And maybe tomorrow I'll do 2 minutes, and maybe the day after I'll do 5 minutes. But what's most important is I got up and I sat there. And that's the most empowering of all of it.
I love it. I love it. All right. That's a great, creating a foundation. That's a great tip. What would another one be?
So I'm really big about stories. I'm always good for like a good story. Like I feel like the story I told you is like you come out of all these difficulties and you triumph and you come into this space where you've created something great. And I think in the world that we live in now, we don't really feel like even the things that we accomplish are accomplishments, because at the scale that we're comparing it to is, well, if you don't have a mansion or if you don't have this, or if you don't have this much X amount of money, it means you're not successful. And so for me, something that I've done throughout my life is I make this beautiful story out of what I've experienced, and I make myself like, kind of like you said, the hero of that journey. And so I think documenting the struggles that you go through and documenting how you triumphed and reading that and be like, yeah, I did that. You know, I did that. That wasn't easy to do. And that's still success, right? I still accomplished something. I went through something really, really hard. I made a plan for myself and I came out of it. And that was something that I really didn't think I could ever do. So if I can do that, imagine what else I can do. So am I any less successful, right? You redefine the word success for yourself and you live your own story. And it's something that it's for yourself for the years to come as a reminder of things that you've been through, but also things that you can share with others, right? Like things that you can be like, look, I went through this at this time. You can do this. If I can do this, you can do this. And I think stories just culturally and over generations, they're always so inspiring. They're always, they allow us to know that if someone did something like this, then I can definitely do this. And I think creating inspirational stories of yourself is going to not only boost up that self-esteem and the confidence and your ability to shine through anything, but it also allows others to benefit from that. And it's a way I feel that you can also contribute to other people, because you can't always take everyone's sadness away and you can't always solve other people's problems. But if you remind them that you can get past this because I get past this, sometimes that's the single most empowering thing that you can do. So I think in this time of uncertainty and not knowing what you're doing in life and probably taking a hit somewhere, why don't you write a story about how this was really tough and hard and I never thought I was going to get through this. This is what I did and I came out of it and this is what I've learned about myself. And I think for children too, that when kids go through something, it's the absolute end of the world. There is no way I'm going to move past not finding my Lego ever again. And you make it into something like an adventure for children. And I think that's where we can learn so much from them, is that these stories that they make up in their minds is what helps them level up into adults. And maybe if we just come back to our roots and write a story for ourselves, maybe we can keep encouraging ourselves and others the same way.
I love that. And what's also popping in my head is the idea of neuroplasticity and our neural pathways, right? And you know, where energy goes, the mind flows, and where the mind goes, the energy flows. And so if we keep in a, you know, in a rut, if you will, of negative thoughts, that pathway, that like hiking trail is going to get like deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
But if we take this other path and keep taking the other path towards gratitude and positivity, and, you know, I can even see maybe starting with my kids where, you know, having like a wall of post-its or a family journal where every day we're writing like, this was an obstacle I overcame today.
Yeah.
Boom. Check it out.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, could actually be really fun in a way even to document this unusual time together.
It can. And I think like one thing I remember about is when I think about neural pathways is that it's like the path not taken, right? So it's the ability to reprogram your brain is as such that if you're driving in the snow and you're driving on the freeway and a lot of cars are driving on the freeway, so as the snow is falling, it's easier to be displaced, right? But that road isn't necessarily leading you to where you need to go. This other path that's kind of off-road and it's local, like a feeder maybe, it has a lot of snow on it because it's the path less taken, because it's not as fast, it's not as gratifying, as it's not as quick, right? But each day you take that path, and every time you take it, a little bit of snow moves out of the way. Another car starts taking it, more snow moves out of the way. And over time, you can reprogram your mind to keep taking that path, and that creates a whole new road for you. And the conscious decisions of every single day saying one thing positive, or every single day, you know, rewriting your story so it doesn't sound like you're the victim, but you're the victor, right? You keep taking that path, and that path becomes a whole new way that you never even know existed. And you can reprogram your destination, your journey, and your mind to more positivity. And I feel like that's such a powerful tool, because I think as adults, we're kind of told that our brains aren't as plastic as children. But I'd like to say that with practice and with conscious, everyday, daily intentions and decisions, yeah, they are. And you have the ability to reprogram the way you think just as easily as a child is able to, so long as you're dedicated and you feel that you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there are ways people can get a hold of you mm-hmm. to have some more, you know, individual coaching and guided work with you. Share with us the name of your website so people can hear it in case they are more auditory learners.
Yeah. So my website is Rabia Meghani, RabiaMeghani.com. So that's my full name. And that's where you can find everything about getting in touch with me. We're in process of moving all the in-person consultations online. So Ayurvedic consultations, one-on-one, yoga therapy, one-on-one, meditation, one-on-one. It's all on there. If you need it, I'm there for you.
Beautiful. So thank you so much for being here with us. And to people watching and listening, we wish you the absolute best. And let us know what practices from this talk and others you are trying out, how they're working, any questions. And as always, be amazing. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining my mom and her guest on The Amazing Way. Hi, this is Cole, Beth's son. And for more information on bringing mental hygiene or mindfulness, yoga on and off the mat, her award-winning bilingual resources, and other programs into your home and school, check out yoginios.com. Be sure to share this podcast, and remember, you are amazing.